Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. And as always, I certainly look forward to it. And I trust that you do as well. I'm going to go right in and let you know that one of the things that we've got going on is we want to simply send a message out to Ms. Blake. She's the author of Falling in Love with Me. Her mother passed on last week. So we want you all to know that our message, our heart goes out to her. And, you know, we're trusting that she certainly gets back on course. That's a thing that I'm sure that people just can't seem to overcome. I've been there, done that, gone through that, and certainly I don't mean to minimize it by saying anything as I'm saying in terms of been there, done that, but I know the pain associated with that. So we just want to send this message out. I don't expect her to be on the air with us tonight. We just want to simply send this message out to let her know that our prayers are certainly with her. Our thoughts are with her during these trying times. My understanding was that the funeral was on yesterday, and we just want her to know that we send her all of our well wishes and hope that she can take it one day at a time, because that's really all we can do is when we come across experiences that I don't really know how to tell people to even prepare for death. So it's something that is a part of life. It's something that we learn to just simply take one day at a time in order for us to get through it. All right, and we trust that, you know, we have to, it's hard to say sometimes, but you put your trust in God because you don't understand. We don't, as humans, we don't always understand why things happen the way that they do. And, you know, when you lose a mother, particularly because I've lost my mom, that's one of the hardest things probably that people have to deal with. And even losing a child, you know, and I know people that have personally lost, you know, both, as I've lost my mom. So once again, we just want to simply say that, Ms. Blake, you mean a lot to us. You know, our thoughts are certainly with you, and our prayers are as well. And we look forward to you when you can take as much time as you want before you return to the air with us. All right, having said that, now we're going to go straight into our program this evening. Once again, I want to go ahead and thank all of you all. We're approaching our sixth year of being on the air. And I want you to know that I really, truly, truly appreciate all the people that have been tuning in with us over the last almost 6 years now. And we have certainly we're now approaching about 700 shows. We might be about 10 shows away from 700, but we are certainly approaching those shows, you know, as I even speak. Even tonight's show, we'll add on to that. All right. So you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We trust that you, if you want to call in early and be able to speak to the topic tonight. But just for your information, I want to give you an idea of some of the future shows that we have coming up. And I'm hoping and trusting that you will, you know, want to participate with some of these shows that are coming up, or I should say in some of these shows, because they're going to be, we're going to do a four-part series. My producers have let me know that we're going to do a four-part series on the subject of marriage, dating and marriage. We're going to do a four-part series on dating and marriage. So you definitely don't want to miss that particular show. Dating and marriage, that's what we're doing a four-part series on it. So you will definitely want to tune in to that. That's forthcoming. So we're going to give you the names of those topics. One is how to have a successful relationship that may ultimately lead to marriage. And as we go through it tonight's broadcast, we will undoubtedly mention these topics again. But for now, we can tell you this much, that you will need to go in and you will definitely want to catch this topic. You will definitely want to catch this topic, how to have a successful relationship that may ultimately lead to marriage. Sometimes people end up getting married and they don't realize what it is that they're doing. But you will definitely, when we go through this four-part series, you will want to tune in with that. So, all right, let me give you the other three areas that we will be doing a topic on. And that's, are you missing youth and vitality in your marriage or relationship? That's going to be part of the four-part series on the seriousness of dating and marriage. Number two, can getting married as opposed to just dating possibly ruin some friendships or relationships? Number three, is marriage really all that? Number four, what you should know while dating and seriously before you get married. And number five, how to have a successful relationship that may ultimately lead to marriage. All right, so there we have that, and we certainly look forward to that. We're going to get to tonight's story momentarily. I just want to also say to those listening audience out there that I have a book out. I have a book out. It's called After the Passion, Now What? You can certainly go on my website, and you can tune in for that just simply by going to drjessewalker.com and tune in to the website. And I think that you will also, you'll be able to look and see some of the areas that I do work in. And I do some life coaching. I've been able to help a number of people, and I can certainly maybe be able to offer some information or consulting with you, no matter what you're having to deal with. All right, just go ahead and check out the website, and I encourage you to do that. And, you know, browse my book. It's also available in ebook. And if you want a free, you can get chapter one, I believe a segment of chapter one free. Just simply go to the website and you can request that, and we'll be more than happy to get you a copy of that. All right, once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Those of you all that have inquired about my co-host, I will once again just want to say this here before we get started. Ms. Audrey Blake, her mother passed away on last week. We don't expect her on the air this evening. If she does come on, it will probably be minimal. But we certainly, our prayers and condolences certainly go out to her. And so, you know, and we encourage the listening audience around the world to give her, you know, say a prayer for her and wish her well, that she will, you know, ultimately take it one day at a time, which is all we can do when such a crisis takes place in our lives. You know, that's the part of being human. death is a part of life, and we can't always come to understand it, but we just learn to take it one day at a time. And I want to share that with those of you all who are just joining us and let you know that. So our prayers are being sent to her and with her. All right. Once again, you're listening to Live to Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going to get right to our story this evening. Tonight's characters are Edward and Francis. Edward and Francis. Let's see here. All right. Edward and Francis. Now into their fourth year of marriage after dating for just over 2 years, with no children in the home, Edward and Francis are wrestling with the thoughts of divorce unless a miracle comes about. Their prior history together since marriage and minimally during the dating process, is that of constant arguing over some of the pettiest of things. Now, this couple has difficulty in seemingly every conversation when it comes to expressing their feelings to the other. The problem seems to stem whenever one of them feels uncomfortable about something the other did, whether they did something they did, something they said, something that they didn't say, or something that they did not do. So it's four areas. Either something they did, something they didn't do, something they said, or something they didn't say. Although it may start out as civil, it often will lead to an argument which ultimately creates tension that resonates throughout the home for several days. Now, the strange thing is, this is the strange thing, and I really want to place emphasis on this. Edward and Francis claim to both be faithful Christians and regularly attend church. They pray daily, yet their marriage remains on edge. They have both admitted being happier long before they were married. It has now reached the point that they barely speak to each other with any emotion or eyes of love. They simply go about their regular or routine days of work, home, occasional outings, and, of course, they attend church. Instead of loving the air, they appear to only tolerate each other. The damage of the arguments has clearly taken its toll on this marriage, and it seems there is no hope for peace in an often hostile home. All right, we begin our starting question tonight, you know, and it's a spiritual question that comes right from the Bible. How can two walk together unless they agree? All right, you know, I want to just place some emphasis on that. And the question once again is, how can two walk together unless they agree? You know, even if two walk together, they should be able to agree to disagree. And I would love to hear you all take on that. How can two walk together unless they agree? And tonight's topic on the air is how to minimize arguments in your relationship. Once again, tonight's topic, how to minimize arguments in your relationship. Let me just place some emphasis on how can two walk together unless they agree. You know, with Edward and Francis here, with this relationship, the fact that they dated over 2 years, that should have been long enough for them to know that, you know what, they saw some challenges even during that time. And they went ahead and ignored whatever the challenges were that may or may not have been as serious at the time, which obviously now has taken its toll and become even more serious. But you know what? I don't think people will survive unless they find a way to agree, even to disagree. Let me go to the phone lines. Let me go to 980-245. Thank you. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, and welcome.
Evening. How are you?
Good evening. Fine. We're doing just great. Who do we have on the air with us, and welcome?
I'm Vernell.
All right, Vernell.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Let me ask you, Edward and Francis, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Is there any hope for this couple?
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like if they're always arguing about every little thing, you know, every thought, everything they say, every little thing, it's just, it sounds like eventually there's no hope, and it's probably time to go their separate ways, you know, you oftentimes you hear people say, oh, you just got to keep praying about, you know, your marriage and so forth. Well, a lot of times God gives us our answers a lot of time, but we ignore them because we're trying so hard to just do what the church wants us to do. Now, notice I didn't say do what God wants us to do. I said do what the church wants us to do. A lot of times people are trying to stay together because of what the church thinks or the way people feel, and they don't want, you know, the blame on them. But a lot of time the answer is right in front of us. When there's constant arguments and disagreements and so forth, a lot of times it's time to split up and go in your separate ways.
Well, you know, Vernell, I could not agree with you anymore. I think that people, you know, and of course this is just my opinion as you're expressing your opinion. I think that people spend more time wasting time trying to heal a dead-end relationship or marriage than actually bringing the love. When the love is gone, when you're arguing more than anything else, just as Francis and Edward, I agree with you. It's time to maybe just pack it up and go on. All right, we're going to actually stand by, Vernell. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 205-908. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have with us this evening?
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Jack, how can two walk together unless they agree?
Well, I listened to Vernell, and she's making sense with a lot that she said. I probably have a different take somewhat. I do know that if both parties are just miserable, and they're not trying to do anything to help themselves, then they're not doing exactly what the Bible says. Now, your thought is, can two walk together unless they agree? The Bible does say that. But are they putting forth the effort where they've become so complacent in the marriage? Or are they just attacking each other for the least little thing? Or are they inviting Christ into the home? See, all these things have to be taken into consideration. Because everybody that say that they're Christian, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're Christian. Because if you're Christian, I feel within my heart, now this is just my take, that you should be able to work any situation out. If you consider yourself a Christian, you should be able to work any situation out. But now, by the same token, if it gets to the point where one party just doesn't want the other, and you've done everything within your power, then it's time to move on. You shake the dust off of your feet, and then you move on. Sure, you prayed about it. You've had your counseling. You prayed. You fasted. You asked the Lord to give you a sign or whatever. And then maybe he is. It's just like Vernell said, if he's giving you a sign, then maybe it is time for you to move on. But I think you should do everything within your power, to try to salvage the marriage.
I think that that's a very good point to make, Jack. We appreciate that. And you know, that is so important. And we hear you saying that, you know, if you've done everything that you can, and I agree with that. I think a person or the couple, both parties. Now, it's clearly if one party doesn't want the other, I mean,
that's right.
You know, you do anything to force somebody to love you back. And if it's evident that that person, and they're not just speaking out of emotion when they're upset and saying they don't love them, they don't want them, you know how it goes. But if it's genuine that the person, even in their calm state, you know, week after week, and say, really, you know what, I'm not feeling you. This is not what I really want. You know, I think that honesty needs to be there, and you need to tell somebody. Because it's better, like Ms. Blake often says, it's better sometimes to give the person the gift of goodbye. And I know as men, that's what she says in one of her books. You know, give them the gift of goodbye. It's only fair because, you know, if a person is going to be with you, I mean, just out of obligation or do things out of because it's an obligation or they think they're doing you a favor. Jack, let me ask you, do you want somebody, let's say you're married or you're dating somebody, do you want somebody to do something because it's out of obligation or make it appear they're doing you a favor?
No, I don't. I don't want you to do me a favor when it comes to the marriage and when it comes to the marriage act and all of that, because God made the marriage. He ordained the marriage and all. It says that the marriage is holy and the bed is undefiled. So God made that. He made for, notice what I'm saying now, He made it for man and woman. I didn't say man and man or woman and woman. He made it for man and woman to be together. Okay, so He made those body parts, and I'm not trying to go beyond what we're talking about. But he made those body parts, and they're connected. That's the ultimate where they can come together and consummate the marriage and all. So God made that. So you're not to punish somebody. You're not to say, well, I'm going to hold out. Neither party should be holding out on the other. Neither the male or the female should be holding out, because God ordained it, and it's supposed to be that way, that you're to be there for them. And don't do me any favor. Don't think you're doing me a favor by doing the marriage act, because that's not how it's supposed to be. If you can't do it from a genuine love, then I don't want it. I don't want it.
All right.
All right.
Can I say something, Dr. Walker?
Yeah, go ahead, Vernell. Then we're going to go to 917-399. Go ahead, Vernell.
I just want to say something. You know, the Bible does say where what God has joined together, let no man put us under. There are a lot of marriages today that are not being joined by God. There are a lot of marriages that are being put together by, you know, the persons. And those are not marriages a lot of times that will work, because they're not of God. They're of, you know, it's various reasons why people are getting married. A lot of time it's a sexual reason. A lot of time it could be for money reason. You know, different reasons why people are being married. And a lot of times those are why marriages are not working. So, and these are usually people are trying to salvage marriages that God did not put together, and that's why they're not working out.
That's true. That's definitely
Well, clearly, one of the things, Vernell, that's an interesting point, and one of the things that you all may hear me repeatedly say over the air, and that is that God is the institution of marriage is of God, is ordained by God, but not if marriage is of God. So
that's
I agree with what you're saying. You know, the institution of marriage is ordained by God, but not in marriage. Oftentimes it's the people saying, oh, this is what I want. But God is saying, that's not what I want for you. All of us are
that's
his
right.
children. But he's saying, this is not what I want for you. You want this for yourself because your eyes are deceitful. You know, they're filled with lust.
Right.
And that's what you're going after. And then when you, lo and behold, when you get that thing, even when you've asked God for the signs, and the signs don't come, you just go ahead anyway and you say, well, you know what, God didn't cause me to faint, you know, so I guess he must want me to get married to this person. So you go ahead. And then, lo and behold, it's like, that's the Lord, why in the world did I do this? You understand? And then there may be situations, you know, Jack here, I'm saying there may be situations where you prayed for the signs. You prayed for the signs and you walked by faith. And then you find that, you know what, it seems like God did give you the signs to go ahead with your walk by faith because he didn't stop it. But watch this now. Sometimes those people come together, and they may fight in the initial stages of their marriage. But what they do is they end up trying, because of they allow self to come into play, and then they want to just throw in the towel at the least sign of frustration. And
right.
yet and still, that's the marriage that God, because God gave them that one. But remember now, what God does, the enemy is always going to come with his troops, and he's going to bring so many of them that he's trying to bring, and he's going to try to destroy that. Especially when he knows that marriage is of God, he knows that marriage is of God, so he's going to be trying to tank that. And what the couples have got to do is they got to realize we got to solidify this thing. We got to stop the argument, the love in here, because this is what God, now, Vernell, as you said, what God joined together, let no man or nothing set asunder. And that's where a couple of capitalized that saying, I believe this is of God. I'm sorry. We're going to ask you to stand by just momentarily, and Jack, we're going to ask you to come on, make comment on some of what I've said. But let's go now to 917. 399. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Hi, Dr. Jesse Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us. Angela, what's your take on this? We're talking about how to minimize arguments in your relationship. And Edward and Francis, I mean, this couple just can't seem to get it together.
Well, I just asked my husband, is this couple us? And he said yes. And I asked him, why did he say that? He said, because I'm just mean for no reason. So he thinks that I'm the mean one in a relationship. I actually believe that maybe I am sometimes. I will admit it. He's listening on the internet in the back, so I don't know if he's going to call and comment on the show.
Okay, we would love to hear from him as well. So he said, so when you ask questions, and you know, Angela, we can appreciate your honesty by putting you
That's
all
right.
out here. Because, see, the thing is, people are blessed by hearing what's real, as opposed mm-hmm. to somebody who's bringing it. We're getting some static from somebody's phone.
That's right.
Yeah, we're getting some serious static from someone's phone. I think it might be yours, Vernell. I think it might be yours. We just, the studio just muted it. But we're going to go ahead and continue. So we appreciate, as I was saying, Angela, for you putting it out there. Give me your thoughts on maybe how someone can maybe minimize arguments in their relationship or their marriage. And while you're doing it in the process of that, tell me if you think there's any hope for Francis and Edward. I mean, some of us have said sometimes you got to give the person a gift of goodbye.
I think there's hope. I'm going to say I think it's hope because there's hope for my husband and I, since we argue a lot. Sometimes we just have to have different angles and work in different ways to come together. I mean, most of the time we're arguing about things because we don't agree on the way to deal with things. And so most of the time I'll say, well, you do it your way, and then I'll go and do it my way, and let's see if we still have the same outcome. Because a lot of times we do disagree on a lot of things. Maybe this
okay.
show can help me also with my relationship, and maybe I won't be so mean.
Okay. All right, let me ask you, when you all do it your individual ways, how does it end up turning out sometimes? Does that sometimes work for you, for the both of you all?
Well, sometimes, okay, let's say for instance, like parent-teacher meetings, my husband works late hours, so he don't never get to go to them. So I would tend to say, well, if you were more involved and if you could have made that meeting and you're just relying on me to do the footwork with this, then, you know, I feel as though it would help our door out more if he was more involved. But then he look at me as the parent that is there, and that no matter if he's there or not, things should still work out pretty good. I just think he's less involved, and that always caused an argument, and things don't always go the way that I expect it to when it comes to our kids in school.
Okay.
I don't know if that was a good situation, but we tend to argue about stuff like that, him being absent for meetings and things like that.
Okay. All right. We're going to actually stand by just 1 second. We're going to ask maybe Vernell want to comment on that. Vernell, let's bring you back in. Angela, I think it may be your phone that's bringing the static. I think that may be your phone because we don't have it now, and the producers put you on mute. All right, Vernell, let's bring you in. Did you have a comment on something that Angela may have said?
Well, as far as her and her husband, I mean, I feel like if it should never be one-sided. It should always be togetherness, because a lot of times when there's not a whole lot of togetherness, that can create arguments, especially when it comes to anything dealing with family, children, what have you, everything. It should be always togetherness, because that can cause some big issues.
All right.
I can fairly say with my with some of, you know, my marital issues, as far as we argue a lot of times too, but and I think the reason my husband and I argue a lot, because there's a lot of selfishness in our marriage. He's very selfish in a way, and it's always like I'm supposed to always bend for, you know, everything that's going on instead of him, you know, being there to be with me to do whatever needs to be done. You know, I'm supposed to be the understanding one, in other words.
Okay.
But I think it should always be togetherness.
Okay. All right. Now, is that, let me ask you, Vernell, do you, of course, I'm sure you express yourself to him that how you feel, but what is he saying? Let me just ask you, since you put it out there, what is it that he may be saying that you're not doing?
Well, I do express myself to him and let him know exactly how I feel about it, about him not, you know, doing things with me. And I let him know that, you know, the man to me is the head of, to God is the head of the home. understand, I think, you know, initiation should always be done, you know, mainly by the man when anything needs to be done. And then, of course, I'm being the helpmeet. I'm to back him up with anything. But it seems sometimes that I feel like I'm the head of the household. And, of course, that creates issues when a woman always
okay.
feels like she has to, you know, be the initiator of everything.
All right. I can certainly appreciate all of you all comments. We're going to just ask you to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you're just joining us, let me just recap. Tonight's topic is how to minimize arguments in your relationship. The characters in tonight's story are Edward and Frances. Edward and Frances, they dated just over 2 years. They've been married now. They're going into their fourth year of marriage. And this couple, I mean, they simply just can't get it together. They argue over some of the smallest or most petty things that are out there. Anything that you can think of that they would argue about, they, in fact, do argue about. It's to the point now where they're considering, you know, divorce unless a miracle comes about. And they just can't seem to get it together. They're constantly arguing. And now they hardly even speak to each other, which is now bringing tension in the home. And that tension lasts for several days. Now, the strange thing is this couple claim to be Christians, and they are regular. they attend church regularly, you know, but the fact of the matter is they can't seem to just can't seem to get it together and hold it together. And we've got Angie that mentioned something, and she brought it out there that her husband was listening and said that, you know, when she asked him the question, is this us? And he tends to say yes, and she asked him why, and he said, because you're being mean. And we can appreciate her honesty, and we're hoping that we can help her out with some thoughts tonight. Let's go to the phone line tonight, and I'll just give a few of my thoughts as we continue with tonight's broadcast. Let me go to 954-226. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us. Rose, did you have a comment or two on how to minimize arguments or any of the frustrations that may be there? Please let us know.
It seemed like the couple in the story, they're arguing a lot. It seemed like they probably don't like each other anymore. And if they don't like each other, they're just not going to get along anymore. You know, it seems like the likeness is gone. And so they might love each other somewhat still, but they don't like each other. And I think when you don't like each other, you don't really care to be around each other. And everything the person does is going to irritate you. So they might need to try to find a way how to like each other again.
I think that that's a very interesting point. Jack, we're going to bring you back in. We were having some difficulty. Jack, if you're still listening to us, we're going to bring you back in. All right, Jack. Okay, he's not there yet. Let's go to Vernell. Vernell, what are your thoughts on what Rose said, you know, the liking a person? And I think that that's a very valuable point, to like
that's
someone.
That is,
Jack, if you're
that
back,
is
we're going to bring
valuable.
You back in.
Hello? Hello?
Jack, are you
there?
Okay.
He is.
Yeah.
Okay,
boy,
go
I've been
ahead,
trying
Jack,
to get back
ahead.
In for the longest. Oh,
okay.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's right. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear
Hello?
You loud and clear. Now, let me just add Vernell real quick, and then we'll come
okay.
right back to you, Jack. Vernell,
okay,
just
okay.
quickly, tell me what you think about Rose's comment on liking the person. I mean, clearly, I think that that is very important because you can still be in love, but you're just not liking the person, and that non-liking can last for several days.
Well, that's true. If you don't like your husband or he doesn't like you, it's going to be very difficult to keep that marriage together. You know, I don't see how you can be so in love and not even like each other. So I really don't think that's going to, you know, work out as a relationship. But I think
it is
important to see if you can, if there's a chance that you can become to like each other again. And if that fails, then of course I think relationship is about over.
I tend to agree. I think that Rose raised a very interesting point. I think people will need to find a way to start liking each other again. You got to do something to like each other. And you know what? Like Vernell, you're saying, and Jack, we're going to come to you in a moment. The thing is, you've got to not let it get to the point where there's so much damage that has taken place where it's almost impossible to start liking that person again, because I think, you know, mature couples will know when it's over, it's pretty much over, and you know it's over. You know, like in the case with Edwin and Francis, when they stop speaking to each other, when there's hostility in the home, when there's tension, and, you know, there's not, and you're arguing over the most petty things. Now that's an underlying factor for the bigger problems that you really don't want to be with that person anymore. You're just not getting along. So Rose, you raised a very interesting point. Jack, let's go to you, then we're going to give Rose an opportunity, and then we're going to go back to Andy. Go ahead, Jack.
A lot of times people are very, very selfish, and they hold on to grudges. They hold on to past relationships. They hold on past incidents, and even though they may have said that, all right, let's move past that, and then we're going to start afresh, but they still tend to hold that grudge, and then that's when it gets to the point where they fall out of love, and then they don't like each other. And I think someone raised a very, very good point when they said, now what they have to do is add some spice in the marriage, and then what they have to do is start liking each other. And then once they see if they like each other, then maybe they can fall back in love again. And I wanted to commend Angela and also Vernell for, you know, putting it out there and sharing, you know, about the relationships. But in particular, Angela had said something, and I was trying to get back in. I wanted to hone in on that. When she was saying that she was talking to her husband about going to the PTA meeting, or going to the meetings with the children to speak with the teachers and all that. Now, it's not something. It's not always what we say is how we say it. It's like she was demanding him. I had a student to do the exact same thing today, and I had to stop the student. I said, no, you're not telling them what to do. You're not their boss. You're not their teacher. I said, now you can tell me what happened with you, because they've already told me. So I had to bust her a little bubble, because she wanted to chastise them if she's above them. So what I'm saying to Angela, and this is just my opinion now, if you put it out there to your husband to say something to this effect, say something to him, this is your child. Now tell me what you think you should do in terms of meeting with the teachers and all that. Give me your take on this. Let him say that rather than letting him come back and retaliate into something that you said. And then that's what he was doing. He was just defending himself and attacking you because you had already attacked him. But I asked him, how would he handle the situation? What do he think he needs to do? And then he should be able to come back to you, well, maybe I can take off early on my job, and I can go to a parent-teacher meeting, or I can have a conference with the teacher and all, because he knows that's his responsibility. And the other thing that I wanted to say is, finally, that we need to learn that there's a word that's when it comes to a marriage, and it starts with a C. It's a big C. It's compromising. No marriage is perfect. Don't let anybody kid you. But there's something that's called compromising. We should be able to compromise. Both parties, okay, now I'm going to give and take. Okay, now I know you don't necessarily like this, but I'm going to do this because this is my significant other. And then that should play in hand with the entire marriage. You're both parties doing that. It's not a one-sided relationship. It's a two-sided relationship. I need to stop because I know you got some others who want to say something.
Oh, Jack, I think you raised a lot of interesting points, and I think everyone has, and I, too, commend Vernell and Angela for bringing it out there. And, you know, you said something that was very important, Jack, and, you know, this was part of what we were presenting tonight. You know, it's not always what you said. It's not always what a person says, but how they say it. And, you know, as a matter of fact, we have a topic, a show coming up, how to express yourself as a man to a woman, and how to express yourself as a woman to a man in your relationship. And, you know, science tells us clearly that men and women perceive sounds differently. So the way that a man may say something to a woman, we're getting serious static off. All right, Vernell, might be coming from your phone at that time. Whatever noise you all make, no, it's not coming from hers. It comes right into the studio. If you move a bag, it comes right into the studio. So I do appreciate your cooperation on that. You know, science clearly tells us that we hear sounds differently. A man may say, I love you, you know, say it like that, very hard. And a woman doesn't hear the love in his voice, you know, but when he says, girl, you know what, you're the apple of my eye. You're the sweetest thing. When he goes into that charming voice, that charming voice that one time got her attention, those are the sweet sounds that woman hears, and her ears are registered oftentimes for that. Now, by the same token, sometimes women can come across real hard to men, And men are not accustomed to perceiving that sound. They want that ladylike sound coming from her. Jack, give me your thoughts quickly on that, you know, on the part.
Man,
you know, where,
I'm just sitting there. I'm just tickled pink on what you're saying, because you're so, I mean, you're absolutely right and all. No, I mean, I don't have a man as my significant other. You're someone's critique. Heart. When I married you, you know, I saw all those the feminine qualities and all that lovable quality, and I want that part to continue in the relationship. I don't care how old I am, I want that. So what you're saying, I'm right on that. And then she's my queen, so I'm supposed to treat her like a queen, and I'm her king. She is the put my water in the tub, and I said, okay, I ran your water in the tub before you came, because I know you're going to be tired. And then when you finish, I'm going to give you a great massage. And I can do the same thing with her. I'm going to put rose petals when she comes through the door and all, and she's going to think she's somebody special. See, if we do all those little niceties, because the courtship is supposed to continue in the marriage. Now, this is not a fairy tale. I'm talking about this is what we're supposed to be doing. But so many of us look at it as if it's some type of fairy tale. But if we go back to the basics, and see, this social media has made it where everybody is involved with sexual relationships outside of the marriage and all the media that they have and out there. I mean, it has confused America completely, not only America, but across the nation, across the world. It's confused them all over and all. But if we go back to the very basics, how every man should have his own wife, and if that's his queen, and she's his king, and he's her king, and they treat each other with all that love and respect. That love and respect. I remember, Doc, when you shared with me that this couple said they just hung out together. They didn't love each other, but they just tolerated each other. They just put up with each other. So when you were giving your story today, I started thinking about that same couple. And I said, this got to be derived from that same couple, because they said almost the same thing, that they were just putting up with each other, but they didn't love each other. And they had been married for over 40 years and all. To me, that's sad.
Right.
If you don't love each other, then just give it up.
Right, and that is not what I would consider to be the agape love that kicks in when the eros love, you know, kind of settles down a little bit. Because that, and when I did ask that couple, and thank you for bringing that back to us, Jack, and when I did ask that couple, what keeps you together? And they said, Jesus Christ. That's a bold-faced lie. Jesus wouldn't be keeping nobody together that don't love each other.
Mm-mm.
So they're lying on Jesus.
That's right.
Let's go back to Rose just for a second. You know, and I want to throw some thoughts out there and I think one of the ways to minimize arguments in a relationship is to you know, minimize talking negatively to each other and only speak positive to each other. You know, try to minimize that negativity to each other, and then watch how you say it, even when you've got to say something that's meaningful. And Jack, I want to come back. After we go to Rose, I want to come back to you for a second. And Bernal, we haven't forgotten you, and Angie, and anybody else that want to come in. I want to be able to ask this question. What about when there's Edward and Francis here now, when there's hostility is going on? I want Jackie to answer that for me, if you would. How damaging is that when you let things linger and that hostility goes on for days and days before somebody becomes the bigger person? And should it always be the man, or could it be the woman as well? Rose, let's go back to you first and ask this question. Give us a thought on what you might think Francis and Edward should do in this relationship. I mean, it sounds like it's over.
It sounds that way to me also, but I'm not sure if they've already done counseling. That's one of the things I think they can do. They can go and do some counseling to see maybe he's not really hearing her and she's not hearing him the way that they want to hear each other. So maybe a third party might be able to help them communicate a little bit better. So I think that's what they should do before they actually throw the towel in, just so that they know that they gave the marriage a fair chance. So I would say go through counseling and see if that can rectify things. And maybe through the counseling, they might learn ways of how to like each other again and take it from there. That's what I think.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Counseling and someone said it earlier. Rose, I think you did, in fact. Couples got to give it everything that they've got for that marriage, because at some point they got to give accountability to that marriage. We're going to ask you all to Jack, we're going to go with that question to you now. You know, the hostility in the home, you know, and how dangerous is that for it to linger? You know, and I know we know. Tell us about that.
I think that's really, really bad when you allow a hostility like you're saying to linger on. I think you need to nip it in the bud. I think as the Bible says, see, a lot of times we come with our own dogma, our own private interpretation. But see, if we call ourselves Christians, then we need to go ahead and read and do exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." Now, those he's not mincing words there. Those are real words. So we need to think what does that mean? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You could be upset. We're going to be upset. Of course, we're going to be upset. Okay, from two different backgrounds. But what we need to do is not allow to go to bed and be angry at each other. What happens if we die? What happens with all that anger and all that hostility? So whatever is causing the hostility within the marriage, yes, we can go to counseling, we can pray about it and all, but we can't allow it to fester, because eventually that festering is going to create, you know, a grudge or hatred. All of that's going to eventually come into play and all, because now you're dwelling on a situation or situations and all, and then you can't let it go. So now all this negativity is all inside of you and all. As a matter of fact, that affects your health as well. So you gotta let that go and all, man, and be happy. Be happy, like the song says, be happy. Don't worry, be happy and all. Don't let that stuff fester and all. Worst case scenario, like you guys have said, if you can't get along, you don't see any way possible that you're going to be able to make it in, then bow out gracefully and give them the gift of goodbye, okay? But now I still want to focus on the compromising and all, and so you can move forward with that as well.
All right. Thank you, Jack. I think that was some vital information that you presented, and I think that becomes vitally important that, you know, you've got to find a way. That hostility Vernell mentioned earlier, you cannot let that stuff linger on. And, Jack, just one briefly here, but just before we go to the phone lines, I'm going to open up the phone lines again. Jack, just briefly here, I asked the question, the part two of that question was, should it always be the man or should it always be the woman that's a bigger person? And give us that in a nutshell, if you will, please.
Yeah, real quick nutshell is that it's the one that's in the right who should come forward and say that, you know, I'm sorry, you know, and I apologize, and I just want to move forward. So that means if you think that you're in the right, both parties are going to try to come to each other and say that they're sorry, because both of them are going to think that they're right. So it should be the one who thinks that they're right, that's the one who should be the first to apologize.
Okay, that's a different spin on it. Vernell, let's go to you, then we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to go to 786-985, then we're going to go to 863-412, and we're going to ask you all to please be brief, because we've got about 8 minutes before we close the show tonight. Hmm. All right, Vernell, give us your thoughts.
So I agree with Jack. It should be whoever feels the need to come forth. Especially, first of all, if you're a Christian and you have Christ in your heart, you will want to go to that person, whether they come to you or not, and be able
right.
to try to rectify things, or at least try to make peace with that person so that you can be able to lay your head down at night and make and talk to God, and you know, it should be over with by that time, hopefully.
Okay, all right. Even if you're still feeling it, at least talk
yeah.
about it. You may still, I think that you can still feel this, because that's a human element. That's that human
right.
factor. You might still right. feel it, but you've got to talk about it. You got to try
okay.
to find resolve. Now, even in finding resolve, there's still going to be some painful relations that go on internally.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is you got to talk about it, because you got to start. You can't allow that dislike to come in. All right, we're going
right.
to ask you on standby. Rose, we're going to come back to you as well. Let's go now to 786-985. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air this evening? 786-985. All right, 786, we're finding difficulty there. Let's go to 863-412. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air this evening?
You have Dennis tonight.
Dennis tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Hey.
It's nice to hear your voice.
All right.
Dennis, can you help us make some sense out of this in a nutshell, if you would?
Well, no, not in a nutshell. What I want to say is, obviously, these people have not read your book, After the Passion, Then What?
That's right.
And then if they would have read that book, taken the workbook that comes along with it, they would have gotten an education that they needed for this relationship.
Awesome.
Thank
all
you
right?
for that. That is, you're absolutely right. I agree with you.
Go
ahead.
And the second book your co-host wrote is Falling in Love with Me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if both of them had fell in love with the opposite, their mate, what did it take to fall in love with them? Whatever it took to fall in love with them, they need to take and practice daily.
Mm-hmm.
Not be selfish like one of the couples or mean like the lady said she was. Don't.
Right.
You can't do that. They needed premarital counseling, and then if it didn't just, you know, some of them sound like they needed to continue in counseling, getting a personal counseling coach like you or your co-host, and
right.
on an ongoing right. basis, get the head clear. So, you know, in a nutshell, no, but it's an ongoing process, just like Jack said. You know, I agree with Jack said, you know, it's a compromise and it's a daily compromise. It's not one time this week and one time next week, but every time, all the time.
Wow.
I was married 35 years and my mate then decided she wanted to be single and free. So she is now single and free. And the good part of that is it cleared me to be able to meet somebody who is a wonderful young lady who has gone through some of the same things I have because her mate was selfish and did things and didn't do it with her. And now that we're together and we both have experiences of negativity from another mate, we know how to work with each other. We love each other, and if we have a disagreement, we talk about it.
Right.
We work through it. I give, she gives, and we constantly building on a relationship, and it's not part-time, it's a full-time thing because we want each other to be happy.
Right.
Also,
okay,
amen,
Dennis,
brother.
We're going to just
awesome.
Ask you to stand by, and we say amen to that.
Right,
we have
awesome,
about 4
awesome.
Minutes before we close the show. I'm going to ask each one of you all a question. Angie, we're hoping that you're getting some of this. Vernell, we're hoping that you're getting some of this. And all of us are learning here tonight. I certainly am. You know, when we talk about how to minimize arguments in your relationship, we listen to the story about Edward and Francis. And one of the things, among the things we've said tonight, you know, we mentioned minimize talking negatively to each other and only speak positive to each other. So we're hoping that we're getting these different things that are being said. Rose, let's go to you now. Let's ask this question. You know, one of the ways to minimize arguments is to, one of our writers write in, one of the comments come in, is to learn to respect your significant other's differences when they don't always agree with you. How important is that, Rose?
Very important. We have to realize that although we might be one, you know, we're still two individuals, and we do not always think alike. And therefore, if one party have a different opinion than the other party, we have to learn to respect each other's opinion. You can't always expect your mate to agree with everything you say or have the exact same opinion like you. It just doesn't work. But one other thing I want to say in order to trying to get along is maybe you can be purposeful in committing yourself to X amount of days of always uplifting that person or not complaining about your mate, or tell yourself, okay, for the next 10 days, I'm only going to say something positive to my mate or about my mate, or I'm going to do something nice for my mate every day for the next 10 days. Maybe in doing so, you know, you might start seeing the positive part of that person, and you might not dwell so much on the person's negative part.
I think that's a very interesting point. 10 days of compliments Angie, we're certainly hoping that you're getting some of this, and Vernell and the rest of us. So I certainly am. Andy, give us your quick thoughts on anything so far. Is it registering?
It's registering, but I guess I have to apply some of the stuff that you guys were talking about. Actually, my heart was racing a little bit because I feel as though that, you know, I've bent over backwards to try to accommodate my other half, and I just feel like he's not equally doing his share. So, but, you know, to make it work, you know, I'll just have to keep working at it and see if we can have these discussions and try to work at it better as far as having more time with each other and dates. Right now we're raising a family, so it's not enough time for that. We're both for our work schedule.
That might be something that you all need to create time on. We have we have about several more minutes, but just before I want to throw this in that we're going to be doing a five-part series, I think it is, on marriage. We're going to be doing that, so you all will really want to tune in over the next several weeks. Marriage and dating and relationships. And we have what's coming up also. You all really want to pay attention to this. Those that are married or know people that are dating seriously, we're going to be doing some teleconferencing coming up. This is going to be new this year where couples, you're just over the air. Nobody needs to know your name. You know, you can be anonymous. And we're going to be doing some teleconferencing seminars between myself and maybe my co-host, and there will be a minimal charge for that. So stay tuned for that. Let me go to Vernell real quick here and ask her this question. One of the comments that came in, it says, in terms of minimizing arguments in your relationship, it says, learn not to criticize each other. Same thing that Rose was talking about. Learn not to speak positively. Vernell, how important is that, you think, learning not to criticize each other?
Well, I think that's very important because, first of all, you were two people that fell in love from the beginning and, you know, formed a relationship and then, of course, marriage. And, of course, you know, criticizing each other, that's not a good thing because all that does create friction in between the two people. It's always best to uplift your mate and try to, you know, keep them on a pedestal, both parties, keep them on a pedestal and, you know, make them feel good about themselves. You know, you make them happy, you make the relationship happy. So I think it's very, very important.
All right. Let's go down to a very interesting point. Dennis, let's go to you on this one here. Another comment. Minimize argument by treating your significant other the way that you would like your significant other to treat you. How important is that, Dennis?
That's very important because if we're selfish in nature, so be selfish and treat them the way you want to be treated, and it may rub off where they'll treat you the same way as you treat them. If you treat them negatively, it's going to come back negatively. So be positive. Look for the positive, find the positive.
Okay. Jack, we're going to give you this last one that has come in. Minimize argument. I think denying self is the ultimate key to success in any relationship or marriage. Jack, what do you think on that? Denying self and break it down.
Wholeheartedly, you have to put self out of the equation and all. I just want to say this before I really piggyback on that, but I want to say that I love the comments. I love your show, and I'm glad that you're going to do another show on this and all. I love what Dennis has said. That was excellent and all. Reading your co-host's book. I love what Vernell has said. I love what Rose has said. All of that is playing into the equation, so I'm hoping all of us are listening and all, not just Angela and Vernell, but all of us are listening and all. Okay, we shouldn't allow certain things to go on in the marriage. You know, I have to say, we shouldn't allow certain things. We should both compromise. That's something that we talked about earlier. We should be able to use that big C word, compromise. I'm going to do this because I know this is something you want to do, and then vice versa.
Okay, I think that is important. And denying self. I think that's the key, the ultimate key. And I agree with the comment. Denying self, you know, I mean, because if a person makes it all about them, I mean, we're not going to have a happy home. And I want to go back to something just quickly, Jack, if I may, and then just before we come off air tonight, with that hostility, that not liking each other in the home, and I agree with you, all of us are learning something here tonight. But they're going to, and Angie, I want you to please tune in to this, even this teleconferencing that's coming up, and perhaps you can give me a call or an email off the air, and I can tell you more about it. But certainly, certainly, we got to find a way because the enemy is out there now. And, I mean, we've got, you know, Jack, you said earlier you're talking about a man and a woman being married, and you're not talking about a man and a man or a woman and a woman. And the fact of the matter becomes, you know, the enemy is out there and he's trying to destroy the fundamental components of what marriage is supposed to be. And if a man and a woman are no longer being able to make it together, and then you're thinking that you're going to make it with somebody of the same sex, that was not God's intent. And we will know, and you know, anything that God has put out there for his intent, the enemy is trying to destroy because it's filled with lies. Give us your thoughts, Jack, just before we go off the air.
I believe with him wholeheartedly. Everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit, as you mentioned it all. And I definitely believe in that we should have togetherness in the home. We should be coming together and set the tone by having our family altar. And that's what they did back in the day. They had their family altar, and we needed to have that on a consistent basis, not every time you think about it or every so often, but it should be a daily practice bringing in that family altar and that worship time.
And I certainly agree with that, and it's got to be consistent. That continuity has got to be there. You don't just pray together today. You don't just worship together today, and then later, you know, two or three days go by, because that's where the enemy's going to come in. You got to be consistent with it. You got to establish a routine and then start liking each other and playing together. But the minute you go by, it's almost like when the doctor puts you on a prescription, and Angie and the rest of us, I hope we're getting it. When that doctor puts you on that prescription, if you're not going to take the medication, let's say an antibiotic to overcome something, a virus that you may have, if you're not going to take it as instructed, then guess what? You're not looking to overcome that virus in there. You've got the word, you know, we've got to be consistent with it. We've got to have that continuity. You know, don't pray today and then don't pray tomorrow because you're upset. Pray even more when you're upset, but pray together. All right? You know, so listen out for these upcoming topics that are coming up. We're going to be doing a seriousness of dating and marriage. We're going to be doing a 5-part series on this. Are you missing youth and vitality in your marriage or relationship? You really want to hear that. Can getting married as opposed to just dating possibly ruin some friendships or relationships? You don't want to miss that one either. Is marriage really all that? You definitely want to tune into that. What you should know while dating and seriously before you get married. You better listen to that one, I should say. And then finally, how to have a successful relationship that may ultimately lead to the right marriage. You know what? We're out of time. I want to thank all of you all. Those of you all we weren't able to get to tonight, we do apologize. Keep listening to the show. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. If you choose to bypass this Friday, join us again next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless you, and thank you, God.